And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmack, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Where that man is fucking an animal.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 105 for January 1st, 2015. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like NFL Easy Picks, Tunes, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2 at gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, the OT net, hashtag OSATM. Let's introduce our panel for this week. We've got episode 82 in a row, heavy set.
Howdy.
We've got...
Cock Talk.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
We've got Kevbo Trek.
The real howdy.
We've got Carp.
Happy New Year's, folks.
And who's this? We got Brian from Tunes.
It's like a world premiere, but not really. Just kind of more like whatever the hell they call it. What do they call those things where people cameo? That's what it is. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Let's get into the news. Actually, you know what? Before we do that, we have two things we have to address. Some Trending Topics Network news. First off, NFL Easy Picks is back and heavy. I don't listen for 2 weeks and then I start hearing this shit. What is this?
We have the Mob Jockey.
Hello.
Ooh, sounds sexy.
You are just such a bad boy.
Do you know who my favorite football team is?
I don't know. Do you know who my favorite football team is?
Is it the Packers?
Probably the fucking Packers, yeah.
No, it's San Francisco.
And of course, you heard the homophobic, I guess, FTW.
One, I'm not homophobic.
I knew you were
asking
that.
What is up?
Just stop it.
What is up?
I can tell you what's up, but this won't be a PG show.
We don't do a PG show.
Oh, in that case, my penis is really erect.
Okay, dude, what the fuck happened in the last 3 weeks, man? You should rename your show to Cock Talk.
Well, what it is basically... FTW always gets really weirded out when people act gay around him. So that me and Mop do that all the time on Xbox, where we'll just talk gay around him. We'll just talk like this, and it just weirds him out. We've done it on the show before.
I don't remember any cock talk happening.
Well, maybe we'll have it next week.
All right, and two, Cerebral Satire talked about it, so I figured we'd plug them, because they're also on the Trending Topics Network now. And Kebo Trek, we got some more bashing, so check this out.
I'm a bit of a movie buff. I love my movies.
Movie
I love
buff.
My music. I love my movies. I don't watch much TV.
You're a big movie buff, so why aren't you on Old School at the Movies on the Trending Topic Network?
Because they don't want a British guy on there because they hate Brits.
They do hate Brits on there. They the only American they have is
Canadians,
a loudmouth.
Canadians, aren't they? Because they've got inferior complex.
Yeah, that loudmouth
trucker. Because
they're
either French, right?
Yeah.
And they hate Brits.
Or Canadian.
The old French do.
And they hate Brits.
Or they're sort of English Brits, and they hate us because we're the proper country.
There's no English Brits on there. There's no English Brits on there. There's no English Brits on there. There's Canadians and American. One American. And he's a loudmouth dickhead.
I'm saying, you fucking retard. I'm saying, you get French
Canadian.
Canada, don't you?
Canadian. French Canadian.
French Canadian, and then you get, like, British Canadian.
Ooh. Okay, now I understand what you're talking about.
The
yes.
British Canadians... have the inferior complex
yes,
with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the French Canadians just hate us because, you know, they're French.
It's
and
true.
That's, it, that's inbuilt.
That's
so
true.
They're never going to have me on their show. And I don't mind about it.
I think they'd have you on. I think they would have you. I think Old School would have you on, definitely.
I know fucking more about movies than they do. Some of their fucking picks. Jesus Christ.
Fucking hell. Okay. Oh, fucking, what's his name? Fucking Tech. Goddamn, that douchebag. Ugh. I can't stand that motherfucker. He's the worst fucking taste in movies I've ever heard in my life. I don't know why he's on that show. What's his name?
Is it Kevbo
Trek is his name.
That's it, Kevin Trek.
How the fuck? What kind of
Killer
name
Carp?
Is that?
Killer Carp's all right. I like a bit of Killer Carp. He's all right.
Yeah. Carp's good. All right. Old school's good.
All right.
Yeah. Heavy's good. Heavy's really good on that show, actually.
Heavy's got the best taste in movies out of the lot.
He does.
And don't tell him that.
Yeah, don't.
Because he ain't going to listen to this.
No, he does not. He does not, because of our religious views, he does not care for this show much. But old school listens, don't you? Old school.
What do you mean, that fat cunt?
That fat fucking cunt. Heavy.
Yeah.
Or old
that
school.
Fat ginger bastard. Fucking hell, he's got a lot going for him, hasn't he?
Yeah, doesn't he?
You fat ginger trucker bastard.
But we do love some old school.
This. It's all good.
Yeah, we do love some old school, don't we?
I love a bit of old school at the movies. It's one of my favorite shows to listen to.
It is.
It really
has become one of my favorites now. Yeah.
There we go. Thank you very much for the positive. And I love the Kebo Trek bashing, which is great.
I'm sure we'd have it too if there wasn't a 6 or 8 hour fucking time difference.
That's the thing. I totally have mine. That's awesome.
It's a five hour.
Yeah, it's a 5 hour delay. Yeah. Well, when we do the Sunday shows, we could have them on for sure. And that's actually that's Devil Vamp, Kev, the guy who's been destroying you on Twitter there.
Oh, he loves me.
Yeah, he does. And so, yeah, we'll have you on anytime. And by the way, everybody on the show is, as you would refer to, a Brit-Canadian.
Except for Will. Yeah, I actually heard from my Canadian friend over at Penn's Initiative that there are two types of Canadians. There are French Canadians and then there are human Canadians. Is that true?
Absolutely.
That's what I thought, because French Canadians are just completely inhuman and miserable beings. Can't even call them human beings.
But my mom is French Canadian.
It's actually a love hate. Yeah, the English and the French, especially on the Ontario side, we have a huge rivalry, especially with like the Maple Leafs and the Canadians. So any kind of bashing either way is totally.
That's with the hockey. Yeah, exactly.
See, yeah,
like
yeah.
a Pennsylvanian and an Ohioan.
Yeah, it's yeah, exactly. It's any kind of great rivalry with any sports team south of the border as well. So we love our French Canadians there. It's all in good fun. Let's get in.
Hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck you, motherfuckers. I will take care of your asses later.
Hey, apparently you don't listen to the show, so it's fine.
I don't.
There you go. All right, let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
All right, Kebo Trek, let's start with you.
Alright, so my news story this week is rumors of Aaron Paul joining the Han Solo spin-off film.
2014's Godzilla director Gareth Edwards is helming a project which will be released in between the first two entries in the sequel trilogy, J.J. Abrams' Star Wars The Force Awakens and Rian Johnson's Star Wars Episode 8. Like Paul's casting, the only story details of the spinoff are rumors right now, but it is believed to revolve around the original trilogy space pirate Han Solo and his co-pilot Chewbacca. There's also rumors that elements from the spinoff will overlap with the Rian Johnson film. Kev, is this going to actually star Harrison Ford or like a younger version of him?
I was assuming that Aaron Paul would maybe be
Han Solo.
Yeah.
Do you think? I don't know, man. I loved him in Need for Speed. I know nobody else liked them in the movie.
I did.
I thought Aaron Paul is, I think he's a great action star. The problem is the role's so iconic, it's really tough to put anybody in that role. But I mean, I think he's got the acting creds to do it. What do you think?
I definitely think he has the acting cred for it. It's just, like you said, it's such an iconic role. And I guess I don't find it necessary. There's so much they could explore in the Star Wars universe. Why go back to this? And because if it's bad, it's going to be really, really bad. Like, you know, okay, have a Boba Fett movie where he is kind of a minor character, but you're basically taking the major character in Star Wars and trying to do this, and it really wouldn't be my suggestion. Yes, I love Aaron Paul. He's a fantastic actor, but I would like to see him in something else Star Wars related. Just not Han Solo. Pretty much anything else. I don't like the idea of doing a Han Solo movie before he's Han Solo in the Star Wars movies.
All right, I'm going to throw that to the floor. Who else wants to comment?
Oh, I do.
I figured that was coming. So, like, Brian, let's get two cents.
Yeah, I'm probably the Star Wars nerd of the group, I would guess. Having read the majority of the books and seen all the movies and watched nearly all the cartoons and all that other fun stuff. Now, Aaron Paul, I love him. I really do. As an actor, I think he's awesome. However, he cannot be Han Solo. The thing is, like Kev said, you gotta deal with the fact that this storyline is huge, like from the beginning to the end. And even Han Solo, like the story arcs and everything else, like just goes so far beyond the movies that everybody knows. What I'd like to see them do, because I'm a Star Wars nerd, is to go maybe between episode 7 and 8. But the thing is, they don't say when the timeline is going to be for this movie. Because he can't be Han Solo. There is no way he can pull off Han Solo. He doesn't have the chutzpah for it. But, and I'll kind of throw a spoiler out there, if he was one of Han Solo's kids, he could easily pull that off. Also, it says later in the article that he was actually doing a live script read as Luke Skywalker, which could be interesting as well because of the whole timeline of everything that actually happened. You're dealing with 30 years between Mark Hamill playing the last movie and episode 7. That's a lot of time to actually pull that off, and kind of the whiny kind of thing. That's kind of who he played in Breaking Bad, which Luke Skywalker, let's face it, yes, iconic hero. Bit of a whiny bitch, though. And I think
question
he could do that.
For you. If he's his son, do they call him Fran Solo?
I would hope so.
You know, I'm kind of liking this, the son kind of spinoff. It allows Harrison Ford to kind of, have his last movie as Hans after the small part he's probably going to have in episode 7. Allows him to pass the torch on to Aaron Paul. I think it's a great idea. Agree, disagree, panel.
Wait, did you just call him Hans?
Yeah, he called him Hans.
So he's apparently he's a Swede now?
He's Han Solo and Franz Solo.
He's Hans Solo.
Last name, Olo.
And he's here to pump you up.
But
Hans and Franz Olo.
If I remember correctly, I think Harrison Ford's supposed to have like a pretty big role in episode 7, isn't he?
I haven't read.
Had to delay filming because he broke his ankle. So.
I've actually purposely not read any rumors or any. I really want to be surprised.
That's where I'm.
So yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me given the story arcs that all the books take, because he does play a pretty significant role in the future. But I've done everything to avoid spoilers. I've had people sending me spoilers, and I'm like, nope, not opening that.
Kebo Trick, but you're saying have like a sub character be the focus, like a Boba Fett.
Yeah, exactly. I prefer that for.
I think that's a mistake, though, because people wanted to see these big iconic characters for so long, and you want to give him some kind of jobber character the second movie in?
But no, we're going to get him in the main trilogy. It's like I would avoid having maybe like a Yoda spinoff or like a Han Solo or Luke. I would stick to the secondary characters because everyone loves Boba Fett. Why not do a movie with him?
We're not going to watch a Chewbacca movie, you know what I mean?
Well, no, like, not a Chewbacca, but there's other characters they could explore while kind of leaving, the big three or whatever to the main movies.
Yeah. All right. You know what? Let's throw it to – we got a big panel this week, so let's go. It's moving on. Heavy Set, what would you like to talk about this week?
Of the two that I picked, let's talk about The Interview.
I'm Greg, and this is IGN News. The Interview has topped Guardians of the Galaxy as the highest-selling film on Google Play and YouTube Movies. According to Variety, Seth Rogen and James Franco's controversial comedy has edged out the lingering competition of Guardians and the Maze Runner on the Google streaming sites after launching on Christmas Day. Specific sales numbers have not been disclosed. Netflix is apparently in talks with Sony to also stream The Interview, and if you didn't know, it's now on iTunes. Just go there and do your Apple ID and agree to the terms of service. Anyways, the PlayStation Video Store was supposed to sell the movie as well, but hit a snag after the site was targeted by hackers on Christmas Day. You can watch The Interview in 300 select theaters across the US or online at Google Play, YouTube, Xbox Video, iTunes, and of course, seetheinterview.com. For all your movie news, stay tuned to IGN.
A couple quick things that we are going to be discussing The Interview. I'm going to be reviewing it actually during the review segment, but I'll talk about the digital part of it quick because I think it's really important. It's actually one of the first times that a movie got released digitally first, and it's not really their choice. It's just the circumstances. I really respect Sony for doing it. I think it was the best. I know we discussed possibilities last week. Will had mentioned delay it for a year. Cart mentioned, fuck it, just mass release it and force the the theater chains to take it, which were two, you know, other possible options. But I think they did the right thing, because my guess is pirated version was going to be released online anyway. So why not capitalize when you have the buzz? From what I understood, there were reports of it making around 15 to 20 million digitally, which is like huge. It's great numbers. It's definitely not theater-like numbers, but I think they're now on the way to kind of making their money back. Heavy, let's get your two cents.
I still think this movie can make more money on top of it, because there's probably a lot of people like myself. I didn't buy it. I think I might wait till a physical copy comes out, or if I actually get a chance to go to a theater. I think the only one in my area that was playing it was in Cleveland, and that was like the only one within a so many mile radius. So this is a movie I definitely want to see, and it's amazing that how I think when this movie was first announced, or the previous first came out, I want to say this was a lot of us, we were like, Cheapy Tuesday or something, like we weren't that high on it. But now all this has come out and it made us want to see it more. Whether this was meant to happen like this or not, this was great marketing, and it's going to work out really great for Sony. I think they're going to make a lot of money, and not to mention the money they are going to make, they are making right now, they're not having to split it with as many people.
To me, I think they really went into it. It was just about a recuperation to try and make as much money back as possible, in the idea that they're going to potentially lose, but trying to kind of stop the bleeding as much as possible. We've seen now, this is really the first experiment for a digital distribution for a major movie like this. And, you know, say if it did make around 20, 25 million, I'm curious to know if it was in the theaters, how much it would make. Maybe it was around the same thing. I'm guessing it could have made around 30, in my opinion, if, you know, they actually allowed it to be released with all the hype. I think 30, 35 million would have been a reasonable number. So I don't think it's that much of a bad thing. While I get batteries for my mouse that's dying, I'm going to throw this out to the panel who would like to discuss.
Okay, I'll jump in. Think about this movie, though, seriously, with all the hype that it got and all that other fun stuff. First off, if this would have happened in like the 1980s, it would have been the Russians bitching about it. And so it's really kind of funny from that aspect, if you think about it, because Kim Jong-un, I guess is what his name is. Is it Un? I believe.
Yeah, it's Un.
Yeah. Like, he's there crying about it. Well, you look at any movie in the 80s, and we were doing the same thing about the Russians. So you didn't hear about any of this. So it was all a bunch of needless hype, basically. But if you look at it, like, it made 15, which is pretty good. I saw somebody mention on Twitter, and I totally agree with them. You mean I can go watch a brand new movie that should be in the theaters, but yeah, I can do it at home for half price wearing no pants?
No pants theater release is awesome.
That was one of Kevin Smith's arguments on one of his podcasts, where he's like, man, just release that shit on video demand right away. I pay less. I get to pause it with my PVR, get to watch stuff in my boxers, make my own popcorn, drink my own beer or soda. It's a great opportunity. But to me, there's still that cinema feel for some movies. And to me, I was going to this in the cinema when it came out last week. When it was supposed to come out last week, unfortunately, things happened, but We're going to get a small release here in Montreal as well soon, so I'm probably going to go catch it there as well.
Yeah, you know, and definitely you've got those major movies that you want to see on the big screen. You've got Clooney and Bullock there.
Gravity.
You've got Gravity. You've got
Avatar.
Yeah, like I just can't think of any movie
right
Hobbit
now. The Hobbit films.
Yeah, I mean, the Batman trilogies. You've got any major action movie. And probably comedies, too, because of the group factor, because you're going to laugh more in a group. I actually watched this on Christmas Day with the family. We rented it. Loved it. Again, I'll give you my review in a little bit. But it was a different dynamic. I think it was really cool. It's the first time ever that we can online just rent a brand new movie like that. So definitely groundbreaking in that regard. But I still see the appeal of the theaters for the majority of those big blockbusters, at least for the time being anyways. All right, Will, let's throw it to you. What would you like to discuss?
I'd like to discuss the pirated movies list.
Yes, so the top 20 most pirated films this year, Will. Wolf of Wall Street, you've got it, like Frozen, stuff like that is no surprise because those just made a crap ton of money. And we've seen on average the more popular movies will be on top of that list. One that I did notice that is quite interesting is RoboCop with 30 million downloads. And they were also saying because it was named a little bit differently, that could be actually a lot higher, where we see stuff like this and
it's Legend of Hercules that surprised me the most.
Legend of Hercules. Yeah, with the rock. Also, the Tom Cruise movie, Edge of Tomorrow. You know, that could have probably done a little bit better at the box office.
You know
it's
what?
Almost, so it's gotten to the point where somebody's movies, and I'm guilty of this as well, where I'm kind of on the fence. I'll say, well, I'll download it because I'm not sure I want to pay for that. So I think a lot of these movies, the ones I mentioned in particular, are actually being affected by downloads. Do you agree, disagree?
I fully agree, because these are movies that could have benefited from a, how can I say it? Like, for example, RoboCop, the idea of it having a sequel, it does depend on this. The Legend of Hercules, it came and went, and it's as if there was no big buzz, but yet a bunch of people did see it, and it's not getting the reward it's owed. You see what I mean? That's one to me, it's weird. For example, Frozen, it could download a bunch of times, but it sold a billion DVDs, it's making a lot of money, it gets its merit, but let's say even though I don't like the director. Brett Ratner did have a lot of passion making his Hercules film. He was hoping a lot of people would see it. And the numbers didn't add up at all. But yet, you see that it's been downloaded more. So it'd been fun if it... Because, I mean, I do feel like I do owe these people for all the work they put into something. Do you know what I mean? And we like RoboCop, yeah, it does hurt it. I find it really odd that the number one film is Wolf of Wall Street. I didn't watch it. I didn't know... It was more of an Academy Award film more than it was a big blockbuster film, and yet it's the first one. However, Old School, if you'll remember, on this list, there is no Kick-Ass 2, so that girl was wrong.
That is true, because Chloe Moretz said that piracy was a big problem.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that this was the number one film. No, it's not. However, it does seem that the trend of the most popular movies being looked downloaded illegally is not necessarily the case, and that surprised me the most.
Just a quick... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go for it, Ben.
Wasn't Transformers released in China initially to actually avoid piracy?
Yeah, and maybe that's one of the reasons why it's on the top of the list. It's very possible that strategy saved it from being fucking pirated the shit out of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's one of those few movies that have actually released on the same week, and the numbers don't lie. I mean, I think it's you have to have these global releases. I'm not quite sure why they actually hold off. I mean, it's not a technological thing. Maybe it's because they want the actors to be in certain cities or something. But I'm not quite sure why the majority of these movies haven't done global releases yet. Any ideas, guys?
Well, I think it's starting to happen more and more often because the foreign market is becoming a bigger factor in a movie success these days.
I think, too, what can cause an issue sometimes is, like, a language translation. Sometimes maybe the translation company doesn't get it on time to actually do a full movie, to maybe translate it fully properly. Now, I know, like, here, you know, a lot of Francophones will go see English movies because, well, it's easier and it's better.
Well, we're in a particular thing, but we're talking more of the U.S. box office. Part of a
Venn diagram that doesn't really exist anywhere else in the world. But I don't see why it would be such, like, why there's such a delay sometimes between places. With the technology we have now, it should almost be instant.
But I think that we're going to see that happening more and more. Because
that's the only way you battle piracy, is really to push out the movie as quickly as possible, trying to make as much money as you can before those social networking sites get a hold of it. So I think that's the way to do it.
But what about, like, locking people up? Do you know what I mean? Like, going that route instead.
Yeah, because the music industry did so well doing that.
No, but I'm just saying, go extreme. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I mean, yeah, we'll turn into like a police state.
Yeah, we're going to turn into fucking V for Vendetta, we start blowing shit up. It doesn't work. You can't shut the people down. You can't shut the internet down. You can be fucking tyrannical all you want, but it's just not going to work.
It's also, and by the way, internet privacy rules are different everywhere.
All right, let's end on Brian's news story for this week. What do you got for us, man?
Let's just do the Ghostbusters one.
Sweet.
Blood. Undid that for heavy.
Ghostbusters reboot won't hold back on scares, but will on swears. Now, we've seen this a couple times, most recently with the Expendables movie, where they're going to kind of hold off on the foul language. Personally, I think it's a mistake. I think the first movie part of Ghostbusters, that was kind of the appeal to it, was it was a bit raunchy. And, of course, I loved it. I love both, but I love the first one a lot better. I think in today's day and age, you have to be a bit more raunchy. I think, especially with the actresses that were listed, if you're cutting them a PG-13, you're going to be kind of taping them up a bit. I think it's a mistake. I prefer them do it a bit raunchy. I know why they're going the safe route, because the box office doesn't lie. It does better. But as a fanboy, it's going to be – I think it's going to hurt the movie. What do you think?
I actually disagree with you on this. I think that you can do it and stay true to the actual story of Ghostbusters without being completely crass, to the point where if all you have to do is change your language – use nuance instead of just coming right out and dropping F-bombs and all that other stuff. I think that it forces you to be a little more intelligent with it. Maybe I'm on the small side, but I tend to appreciate intelligent humor more than just the crass, cheap, just go for the language thing.
You must I'm guessing you're going to hate the interview.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen it yet, and partially for that reason. But I kind of feel like the interview would almost be like, I might as well watch Red Dawn or whatever from back in the day. But with the Ghostbusters things, you're going with kind of a reboot. You don't have to use crass language in order for it to be funny. I think maybe it's a new territory for Feig, or however you pronounce his last name. But
I don't think we're going to pronounce it the rated R way.
His name is Feige.
Oh, is
it's Feige, by the way. Sorry, you are Feige. Incorrect.
Nice. Well, no wonder he likes to swear a lot. But
there you go.
But, I mean, he can break away from what he's done and just tone the language down a little bit and not lose anything. I think that's the key. And it's going to be a testament to the people that they've cast and how good they are at actually pulling the jokes off. I mean, you look at like somebody like Will Smith, who basically refuses to swear, and he can be a pretty funny dude.
Regardless, I kind of agree with you. But I think it goes to the point where, is this a kids franchise or is this an adult franchise? I think that's the question.
It's a family franchise.
But it can be both, yeah.
Yeah, it can be both. Can. Absolutely.
We've seen Expendables 3 where it really hurt putting it down, cutting the language. And cutting some of the violence.
Old school.
We've also seen the other side where Guardians of the Galaxy was a bit kind of crass, but it was toned down. It was okay.
But what about Expendables 3? Was it hurt because of the language, or was it hurt because it was Expendables 3?
But old school. I saw an interview with Terry Crews, and he said that the deal is in the first one was, yeah, you're right, like was more our kind of film, but because the kids got in on it, Stallone felt that he had this responsibility to his kids and to not, you know, give bad influences. So he personally made the films more family oriented.
And it went to complete shit.
Yeah, it did. It did. But he feels like he was obligated to not swear anymore.
All right. So I'm going to throw it to the panel. Go to each one of you. Do you think it's a family franchise or an adult franchise? Brian?
I think it's a family franchise. Can be a family franchise, at least. I mean, I saw it when I was a kid.
Yeah. Heavy.
Yes, it's true. This franchise has no dick.
I love that. That's a great reference. Will.
I was going to say it has to be a little bit of both. Because as I'm sitting here with my dog named Zool, I was watching this movie when I was... Actually, no, I was watching this movie repeatedly when I was like 3 and 4.
It's a family film. But I'd say it could be more like Shrek, which is a little bit raunchy.
Yeah, I didn't hear no F-bombs in Shrek.
No, but it's more like it's not about the swearing. You could.
I didn't hear it. Shrek didn't tell anybody to suck somebody's cock.
No. But there won't. Fucking, that's the whole point. There won't be none of that. But there could
no
be like
no heads get blown off
in
Shrek.
But there could be like food comedy.
There's no anal probes in Shrek.
There was the
Pinocchio
first one.
Joke with his nose and stuff.
Yeah, but nobody says, oh, his nose is like his cock and all that.
No, but and they won't say it in Ghostbusters. It's gonna be kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean. Sorry if that sucks.
Well, they also referenced the word ass in Shrek.
They do?
Well, because
Donkey. Oh, okay, yeah, he's an ass. Oh, yeah, I get it. Kebo Trek, what do you think?
Well, definitely a family film, and it doesn't need to be super raunchy.
Carp?
Family, I mean, the old Ghostbusters look PG-13 nowadays to me, so I can't see them. My only thing is, like, this guy is always making R-rated movies, R-rated comedies. How's he going to tone it down to PG-13? What is he going to find PG-13 accessible?
I think the producers are going to say, you know, yeah, cut this kind of thing. And he's just going to say, okay,
yeah.
I'll take the paycheck.
We'll see. I'm sure we at least have another decade before we see it. So.
Regardless, I still want to see it. Even if it's a fucking G-rated, I still want to see it. It's been way too long. All right, let's get into the movie review of the week.
Want to get a new story?
Ah, fuck. Sorry. There's too many people on this week. Go ahead, Carp.
My news story is Idris Elba responds to the James Bond suggestion.
Isn't it Idris Elba?
Idris Elba.
I think you're wrong. One of the big reveals, the Sony nightmarish hacking scandal pulled back the curtain on the James Bond franchise, which is their only other major tentpole property next to the floundering Spider-Man series. The next Bond film, Spectre, has its Script leaked and details about its $300+ million budget has been revealed. Still, of the Sony films which have seen their filming suspended, Spectre wasn't one of them, given the $1.1 billion worldwide success of 2012 Skyfall, not to mention the critical acclaim for director Sam Mendes' first Bond outing. Sony obviously needs to meet Spectre's November 2015 release date. So far, we haven't heard anything from current Bond Daniel Craig on the film's current status, but according to certain leaked emails sent by Sony Pictures Entertainment co-chairman Amy Pascal, dated in January 2014, she thinks the Pacific Rim star Idris Elba would be a good choice for taking over the role. Now, Idris Elba has responded to her comments via the following tweet.
Picture of him making like a retarded face. Yeah.
Isn't 007 supposed to be handsome? Glad you think I've got a shot. Happy New Year, people. I think it's classy for the guy to do it. In my opinion, I think it would have been a ballsy casting, a great move. And I don't know about his age, but and I don't know how many Craig has left in his contract, but I would still love to see a Black Bond. What do you think, Carter?
Craig signed on for 5, but he's
got two more, yeah.
He said he was ready to walk away after Quantum of Solace because it was such a shit of a movie. I think he's going to do his 5, and I'd love to see them do it properly, where we kind of actually see a passing of the torch to a new James Bond.
They'll never do that.
I know, but
they'll like never.
Because it'd be funny. It'd be like, it'd go to him, weren't you white before? Or something like a fourth wall break.
But you know what? There's been a presence of this in Bond. Moneypenny has changed skin color. Right, Carp and Kebo?
Yes, she's usually white.
She was white. She became black. They just changed the actress, and they didn't say if it's like her daughter or her estranged. None of that. It changed.
Yeah.
So this is...
One of these things just ain't like the other.
However, by the way, one thing though, by the time the two next Bonds come out, Idris Elba will be too old.
Yeah, it'll be in his
That I guarantee. Yeah. It could be a younger guy.
But you,
like Michael
Jordan.
You know
Jordan. Who won't be too old?
Huh?
You know where I'm going with this one?
Shia LaBeouf.
He can't.
No, can by the way, Shia also LaBeouf. He has to be part of the UK.
No, I say you make him American. Give Vin Diesel a role.
he's too busy in a mocap suit saying "I am Groot," and that's enough for him already.
give it to Hulk Hogan.
Him and then just driving cars. That's all he needs. That's
take a martini, shaken not stirred, brother.
One thing though, I think when Craig does get replaced, they can't do another origin story. Like it'll do kind of like when Brosnan took over.
Just be like, hey, your hair color changed.
No, it's because they're gonna keep. Well, no, because they're gonna keep. What's his face? Ralph Fiennes. I'm sure they're gonna keep Moneypenny.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, they'll keep that M. It'll be a lot like. But you know what's weird? It's when Daniel Craig took over. It was still the same M that Pierce Brosnan had, and yet it was an origin story.
It was awesome. I love that.
Was weird. Anyways, but I'm just saying, these weird things, old school, they will never address these changes. They never do. Ever. They change, the person changed sex from one film to the next and didn't address jack shit.
I'd be totally fine. I love fourth wall breaks. I think Bond needs some.
I don't know. The British are way too dry in humor.
How about an American Bond, but he pulls off the British accent?
No.
Like in...
No.
Like, I've never seen an American actor pull off like a half decent.
You know who I'd love, by the way, guys.
Sound of Music.
Does it make me a hypocrite that I'm like, who cares? And then in the meantime, like earlier, I was like, you want to change Han Solo? Fuck that!
Kill you! I'll burn down Hollywood. You know what?
I mean, if you're telling me Dick Van Dyke didn't pull off the best Cockney accent you've ever heard, then I don't know what the fuck
it is. No, I think the best is Breakfast at Tiffany's. Is it Mickey Rooney that does a great Chinaman? It was really good. By the way, Brian.
Chinaman? What are you, 1972?
No, because that's the whole point.
China. Hey, look at them Chinaman over there.
No, because the point is that the movie is like from the 1920s, so yeah, he was a Chinaman. Anyways. It was from the 40s.
Was he a shifty-eyed Jap?
No, it was really bad. It was super racist, guys.
It was a Batman 1939 reference. It was a Batman 1939 reference.
Okay. Brian, and though it might seem hypocritical, it just shows that you have your own passions, and we all do.
Oh, yeah.
So it's fine.
I totally recognize that. And one of the things, I think I've only seen one of the James Bond films, and that was with Pierce Brosnan. And then I was kind of like, you know what? No, I already saw the freaking whatever the hell his name is, Mike Myers one, and that was just funny.
Austin Powers.
I like that. Yeah, Austin Powers. But what the hell?
But watching James Bond makes Austin Powers funnier.
Yeah, I'm sure that it does, but I was just totally not into it. I was like, this is, because it was the one where they were like going down to ski slopes or something. I don't know what the hell one it was.
If that's a later Brosnan one, then that's a shitty one. Was that with, when
Jen, is it Living? No, is it, darn, was it Diner Day?
Christmas.
Oh, no, that's, The World's Not Enough.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. It was one of those. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not impressed. And I should, I know what, there have been 500 James Bond films, so I should see at least probably two more before I judge it. But
you definitely
watch Skyfall.
Yeah.
So which one do I watch first?
Skyfall.
We'll do that. Which one should I watch now?
Man with the Golden Sun.
Gun.
If you don't want to start at the beginning, go with Casino Royale.
All right. Yeah, I'll check it out. No. And then I'll report back to you.
Yes. Gents, comical poem, suitable for the occasion, extemporized and thought up before your very eyes. All right, here we go. Room in for everyone, gather around. The constable is responsible. Now, how does that sound?
So you're telling me that guy didn't pull off a fantastic
when he started singing, he just completely lost it.
That guy's really good. By the way, I didn't know, the guy's still alive. He hasn't aged 20 years.
There you go. All right, let's get into the movie review. Hey, Javi, how long do we still have you? For like another 2 minutes? Or
I could probably squeeze about another 10. Did we do a review for Horrible Bosses 2?
Yeah, we did.
That's what I thought.
Okay, let's get into the movie reviews of the week. So we've seen The Interview. Anything else, guys?
Yes.
Can you say?
No. I saw Night at the Museum 3, whatever it's called.
Okay, we'll start with you, Kev. Go ahead.
So yeah, I never actually saw the first two Night at the Museum movies, and this one already felt tired.
So, like 5 minutes in.
So I'm like, yeah, it feels like it's been done, and I didn't see the first two. There wasn't much I liked.
Robin Williams looked suicidal at all while they were making.
No, stop it.
Wow.
There wasn't much funny with this movie. Maybe a laugh or two with Lancelot, but I'd give it 5 tired sequels on 10.
He hasn't seen it.
To go with what Carp said, was there any scenes where Robin Williams was kind of just hanging around?
Oh, Jesus. Wow. And,
all right, transitioning, I also saw Into the Woods. I did not know this was a musical before going. And,
yeah. And he loved it. It was fabulous.
Hey, Heavy, how much did he love it, Heavy?
What, Into the Woods?
I'm waiting for the gay voice. You had to...
Oh, wait a minute. They're this gay voice, then they're this gay. Wait a minute. It'd be very nice. It'd be very good. I thought it was really good. I liked it. It was Into the Woods. I don't know.
Here's how pathetic I am. My wife was in musical theater and has appeared in Into the Woods no fewer than 4 times, and therefore I will no doubt see this in the theater 7 times before it leaves. I am not looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, like I almost fell asleep during the movie.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm going to give it, I'm not even going to review it. Well, there's not much to review. There was singing. There was some interesting...
It's a musical, dude.
But there was some interesting takes on it, like, you know, Little Red Riding Hood and stuff like that, Jack and the Beanstalk. But I'm going to give it 3 creepy big bad wolves on 10.
All right, thank you very much for that. I'm going to give you my brief review on The Interview. I was really impressed by it. I wasn't expecting much. If you know, if you've seen This Is the End and Pineapple Express, it's the same thing, but with Kim Jong-un getting assassinated. It's insane. There's no way that this could be interpreted anything other than ridiculous satire. So I don't know why they're freaking out over it. I mean, yes, he does get his head blown off in the end, but it's just stupid humor. And if you like stupid humor, like Seth Rogen movies, you're going to love this movie. This is probably, in my opinion, James Franco's best performance. Fuck that other movie where he's a mountain climber or he hosts the Oscars. This is his best performance. And I love him in that stupid kind of stonerish role. And that's it. I would give it, if you're a fan of those types of movies, check it out. 8 on 10. Heavy is dropping off, I think. Thank you very much, Heavy. He's got to go do the WrestleCast. Okay, let's get into
The Hobbit. You suck.
What? What?
I've seen the interview as well.
Oh, whoops. Go ahead.
Do you want me to throw my plugs before I go?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Of course, you can catch NFL Easy Picks right here on the Trending Topics Network.
Yeah, where they've gone, not that there's anything wrong with that, but they're tuning into their feminine selves now.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Because we're becoming Niners fans.
They love the Packers.
They're Cleveland side.
Shut up, Pittsburgh.
they like it in the brown.
Oh, there's and the also, yeah, they get the Steelers.
Also, you can find of the Ohio Indy Report, the Ohio Indy
Ohio Valley
Report,
Indy Wrestling Report,
and the juicy details on www.ohiowrestlingnetwork.com.
Check that out. All right. Thank you very much, Heavy Set. I'm sorry, you're like the redheaded stepchild of the show.
I'm starting to busy on some of
go ahead.
Because you talked shit last week when I left, bitch.
Almost the same.
And sentence. He goes out on that. Yeah. That's great.
Same kind of go sentiments ahead. As you. The guy who played Kim Jong-un was great. He plays like the man child to like the serious dictator, and he like flips the switch like that. Lizzie Kaplan looked really good for when she was seducing James Franco.
Yeah, that was the only time she looked hot.
Yeah,
though,
she was covered up from there on in, from head to toe, pretty much. Yeah, the stuff in the forest, like you've seen it in the trailers, where he has to shove the thing up his butt. But the stuff before that, I was dying of laughter for what happened.
Franco was fucking funny.
Franco played his role like really good. The opening of the film with a very famous white rapper they have, that shit almost killed me. I was laughing so much.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, well, when you say this, do you mean he's like, yeah, well, it's because I'm totally this. Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, super funny. I was very impressed. Solid 8 Kim Jong-un explosions out of 10.
All right, thank you very much, Cart. Let's get into the weekend box office. Break it down! All right, Kev, break down the numbers for us this week.
No real surprise, I guess, coming in first place is the climax to the Hobbit trilogy, adding $41 million, giving it a total of $168.
Where Frodo literally climaxes for 2.5 hours.
Exactly. But, of course, with this movie, we got to look at the foreign as well, where it's already grossed $405 million. So
Brian says in the Skype chat, the climax always comes first.
For guys, it does.
Yeah. I love the chat, by the way. I always do.
That's awesome.
Coming in second place is the classic Into the Woods, adding...
Hey, that was your favorite musical of all time.
Oh, yeah, I clearly loved it. Adding $31 million, giving it a total of $46 million on a $50 million budget. In third place, kind of surprising, I guess we'll get your thoughts on this, is Unbroken, adding $30.6 million. Are you guys surprised that this kind of movie did so well on like the Christmas holiday period?
I think it's like a movie about hope, so probably people are like, hey, let's go see a feel-good kind of movie.
But overall, weren't the numbers pretty good? I mean, you know, our top three have almost $120 million.
If I recall correctly, this period's also like always pretty good. But yeah, I mean, you can't complain having three movies making over $30 million.
Do you think that Jolie had anything to do with that number?
Not really. I generally don't think, other than maybe like a Chris Nolan, like, and maybe I guess I'd throw in Spielberg and maybe what's the other one I'm forgetting? James Cameron. I don't think directors have a massive effect on box office. I guess Peter Jackson, but I don't think Jolie had too much to do with the success of the movie.
How well do you think it did in Japan?
Well, you know what? This is a movie where we're going to see most of the box office in the U.S. It won't be like some of the others on the list.
They CGI'd Godzilla into the Japanese region.
That's awesome.
Coming in at fourth place with actually an 18% increase, but we see that a lot over this weekend, is Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb, adding $20 million, giving it a pretty disappointing total, I'd say, of $54.7 million. In fifth place is the 18,000th version of Annie, adding $16.5 million, giving a total of $45 million. We have The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 in 6th place, adding another 10 million, giving it a very robust 308 on the domestic market and another 363 on the foreign. 9th place in its first weekend is The Gambler. Seventh place is The Gambler, adding 9 million. In 8th place is The Imitation Game. I don't even heard of that, adding 8 million.
What's his name?
Oh, yeah, I recognize his face.
Yeah, Cumberbatch is he's one of the geniuses who helps create, like, the machine that's able to read the Enigma code in World War II.
Okay. Oh, yeah, right. In 9th place is the big-time flop Exodus Gods of Kings, adding 6.7. And we round out the top 10 with Wild, adding 5.3 million, giving it a total of 16 and change.
Do you think that digital sales should account in this case for the interview, considering it did around 15?
Well, we're only looking at box office, though. We're not looking
I wouldn't include it.
I mean, it's definitely helping Sony to prevent a massive loss with the digital sales. And, I mean, pulling in 1.8 million on 330 screens ain't too shabby.
I think it speaks more to who is the box office numbers for. Is it for the movie theater industry or is it for the movie industry? I mean, I'm sure that the studios are, you know, paying real close attention to how much money they make, but how much money the theaters themselves make is actually who I think that the numbers actually are more a testament to.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Kempo Trek. Let's get into the movies out this week. We've got one major release, The Woman in Black 2.
Where are you headed?
We're heading to Chris and Gifford. They have no other relatives, so we're taking them to a house in the country. Does anybody else live on the island?
The place has been deserted for years.
I wonder if Ant can translate. I have no idea what the fuck these guys are saying.
There it is, Hillmarsh House.
So cold in here.
Everybody, into your beds.
Hello? Are you sure there's nobody else living here?
I think you should keep your visions to yourself.
Woman in Black 2, this is Cabin in the Woods meets horrible Brit Birmingham accent. Definitely not on my list, but I'm generally not a big horror movie fan. They break a lot of the rules. They split up. They go into a basement. I'm guessing they read Latin at some point. So they were kind of breaking all the rules there. Carp, as our horror movie guru, let's get your thoughts.
I've still yet to see the first Woman in Black starring Daniel Radcliffe. And
that's awesome.
Probably not going to see this one either. I never quite understand. Oh, yeah, so this house is haunted, and people just end up dying for some reason. We don't know why, but...
So let's go in the basement!
No, it's a haunting-style movie. It's not a go in the basement and read the Latin. It's occupy the house with the vengeful spirit that you shouldn't occupy. So,
Brian.
But I doubt I'm going to see this.
Wow, so if you're not seeing it, I'm guessing – I'm not even going to ask Kebo. Brian, since you're new to the show, man, I'm curious. Are you a horror guy?
No, kind of and not really. I'm, like, not one of the diehard people. I'll throw one in to watch it when, like, the wife and kids aren't home.
Yeah.
But it's not one of those things that I'm really that – I'm not hardcore. I have all the Freddy versus Jason and all that fun stuff because that's a good time. But really, the only woman in black I'm interested in is Morticia Adams. That's all.
There we go. And on DVD this week, Tusk, please avoid it. Don't even fucking download it. If somebody pays you, don't watch it. It's that fucking bad. But what I do recommend is The Equalizer with Denzel Washington. Fucking, it brought him back to the action stage. Was a fantastic movie. If you're into Taken, those types of movies, it's definitely a great rent or digital download or pirate, however you consume your movies. Check that out. All right, let's get into hashtag OSATM feedback.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
All right, so this comes from Jacques at the Mountie. He says, anyone see the interview? Hashtag OSATM. Fucking loved it. That guy's a cool guy. Devil Vamp. I'm convinced that everyone should do exactly opposite from what Kebo Fuckhead says about movies. Hashtag OSATM. Loving it. He's just fucking, you and him have this fantastic rivalry going. I love it, man. But I like how the fact that you always stay classy. There's no Devil Vamp bashing on this show, Kev.
I don't know anything about him. So it's
just, you got to listen to his show.
To come up with a retort.
You got to listen to Cerebral Satire, Kevin. Bash his show.
What if Kev was Devil Vamp?
There you go. Oh, exactly. Maybe I'm hating on myself.
This comes from Devil Vamp. Every time Kebo Fuckface speaks, we all get dumber. Hashtag OSATM. Oh, by the way, the quote is, Christmas comes more than once a year. Fuck Kebo Trek.
Hey, I didn't even say that.
It's great. You're getting blasted for quotes you didn't even do. Comes from DRG. Damn it. Just saw the preview for Taken 3, and I'm highly disappointed that his favorite goldfish wasn't taken in this movie.
You should have been like a puppy.
And this comes from Ant. For DRG, hashtag OCTM, is it his leprechaun this time?
There's full it's conversation to that.
It's his reputation that gets taken.
No, it's his leprechaun that gets taken. It's his dog that gets taken.
Not even his seeing eye dog when he is sent to the retirement home. Just a regular good guy gets...
They take his wheelchair.
Well, they'll do prequels. When he got married, then his freedom was taken.
Freedom, yeah.
And they had the first kid, and then all of his sleep was taken.
There you go. Double A Andy Anderson. I thought the movie, The Interview, was fucking hilarious. It's worth the $5.99 to rent. And I paid the $14.99 to buy it on Google Play. Double A, I'm really interested. Do you have like a movie library on Google Play that you own? You're one of the first people that I know that I would actually buy a digital copy. In my opinion, buying digital copies, like if I don't have something tangible, I wouldn't buy it, but... I understand why you'd want to do it because you own it. You get to watch it as many times as you want on whatever device. So you don't have to kind of pirate it. You actually do the legal thing and own it. Do you guys own – have you guys bought any digital media or would you consider doing it?
The only digital media I get is when I purchase a Blu-ray and it comes with like the digital download.
Yeah.
But would you like an iTunes library – start buying movies and owning them all on Google Play?
Probably not myself because I'm more like you where I like to have the physical copy.
Yeah, and I'm not even really a huge tangible guy. Like, I own a bunch of Audible audiobooks. I also own Kindle ebooks, and I have no issue with them being stored in the cloud. But for some reason, I still haven't got past that tangible movie thing. Do you think – go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, with me, like, I kind of – if the option is there when I go buy a DVD or Blu-ray or whatever to have the digital copy with it, I'll pay the extra couple bucks. And for me, it's kind of a convenience thing. Because I'm freaking lazy. Like, I'm on my feet all the time, and I don't want to be necessarily when I'm at home. So I just have the smart TV with, like, Vudu in it. And so I'll just upload it into there, and then I don't have to get up. You know what I mean? I can just set it up. I can tell the kids, I'm like, here, set this up while I go out to the kitchen and get dinner ready or whatever. And then just do it without having to swap out the disc and whatever. But I like having the hard copy disc there as well. I think that's where
it's good
go.
For redundancy. So for whatever reason that platform is not available or your account gets corrupt, because those are concerns. You know what I mean? Like if I own 100 movies on Google Play and then somebody steals my password or something, or I can't get into my account, that'd be concerning. But I mean, you know, as long as you ever, yeah. Because, of course, the PlayStation Network, super fucking safe, right?
The PlayStation Network? is what I've actually been calling
it. Yeah, absolutely. Fuck, absolutely. Apparently, they've finally got... They turn on the firewall in XP Service Pack 2, so hopefully this should be okay now.
And that's what makes me hate hackers, like the people who went into Sony. Because you go and you fuck with people on Christmas because you're lonely, and you're lonely souls who can't get a girlfriend and have nothing better to do than ruin other people's fucking lives. Thank you, people.
So Anonymous, please, you can contact Brian at @ToonsBrian on Twitter. And I love Anonymous. Please don't attack me. This comes from Antivigilante, #OSATM. So I've watched the interview. Really good film, 8 out of 10, and got to be 10 out of 10 for the public promotion stunt, #CashCow. I can't say it being a stunt. If it was, if this was all a work, fuck, man. Like, kudos to them, but I can't see them sabotaging their entire fucking, like, company to release one movie.
No, they're looking still at, like, at least a $45 to $50 million loss. There's no way they'd do that.
I don't know about that. With the deals, I think they might not break even, but I think it could come close.
We'll see.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We will see.
Like, them losing the large release, honestly, if they had come out on Christmas, I could have seen them, like, Unbroken and Into the Woods would have not made nearly as much money as the interview would have, personally, I think. Because the instant I first ever saw the Red Band trailer, I'm like, this movie looks awesome. I got to see it. And then all the shenanigans happened. So.
Yeah, I want to ask the panel, or not the panel, but the listeners, I want to get on this AA Andy Anderson thing about owning movies on Google Play. Would you guys buy just digital copies? Do you think in your lifetime we'll see that more than people wanting that tangible copy? Like, I'm an IT guy, I've got everything digital, but yeah, for the movies to buy it, I still want to have that tangible thing. Are you guys the same way, or are you double A's? Do you go more the double A route where you own the actual movie? Let me know. #OSATM. Let's close the show. Plugs, final thoughts. We'll start with Brian from Tunes.
Yeah, you can find me on Tunes every once in a while whenever Jack and I can actually get together. Being working men and working opposite schedules makes it difficult. However, when we are there, we just have good, clean fun, sometimes dirty fun. Either way, you can find me on Twitter @ToonsBrian. Also, go to our new website because I bought the domain, so it's now toonshow.com.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get that up and running to where I can actually spend some time with it and write some fun articles about crazy stuff that goes on. Thanks for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
Hey, man, you are welcome. You have an open invitation anytime you want, man. I know.
Sweet. When my schedule allows, I will be back. Unless
just fucking tweet me, buddy, anytime.
Yeah, unless the #OSATM people say, you know, that guy sucks. And then I'll just come on despite them.
You were like 50 times better than Kebo Trek. It was fantastic.
Sweet.
Fuck Kebo Trek. Carps, plugs, final thoughts.
As always, StableWars.com. We have many games on this week. TNA Stable Wars, UFC pay-per-view, even the New Japan Pro Wrestling pay-per-view we're going to be doing as well. Multiple titles open in Title Wars. So come on by, play some games, and have some fun.
All right. So for Kebo Trek, Carp. No, actually, Kev, let's get... Do you have anything to say, or
you can find me? wait, you can find me every single week on Old School at the Movies.
All right, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. So for Kebo Trek, Carp, and Toons Brian, this is Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
Mm. Hello, Miss Locke. I got one for you. Miss Locke likes to walk in the park with Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Mrs. Like your Corey, so bad.
A story for you. Your daughters were shorter than you, but they grew. Dear Miss Persimmon,
I wonder if they get, like, legit pissed. The Cockneys get, like, legit pissed at his accent.